Dr. Lisa Solomon.
Thank you. Is this actually a light? No. Okay. Good morning. This is going to be a little bit of a change of pace from our prior discussions, but I'm going to be talking about the minority-serving institutions HIV prevention sustainability program, and this is a program targeted to college-age minority students. And I, too, have no financial disclosures. Before I get started, I do want to acknowledge the many partners that have helped work on this project. Our two partnerships that provide technical assistance, the National Native American AIDS Prevention Center, NAPCE, and the National Minority AIDS Council, who works with us to provide technical assistance to our schools. My colleagues at APT Associates, particularly my co-presenter, Shanza Baytop, and the participating minority-serving institutions, and that includes Dine College, Florida International University, Fort Valley State University, Jackson State University, North Carolina Central University, Southern University of Baton Rouge, and Stone Child College. And I'm very pleased that one of our partners from the school, Dr. Fortune, is joining us here today. So thank you, Dr. Fortune. And of course, I'd like to thank our funders, the Office of HIV/AIDS Policy. So what I'm going to be doing today is very briefly reviewing some HIV data. We've already had a little taste of it for young college-age students or minority students. I'd like to discuss the goals of the MSI HIV demonstration initiative. I'm going to describe the program components, including some of the challenges that we've seen in implementing the program, describe the activities to date, and then talk a little bit about what we'll be doing over the next year of the program. So again, just to briefly recap something you've heard in our last presentation, individuals under 25 constitute half of all new infections in the United States. And within that, African Americans constitute the highest rates of new infections among males, 64%, and among females, 65%. And young people in the age group of 13 to 24 had the highest rate of those living with HIV, particularly those that were not yet diagnosed. And again, overall, over the last couple of years, the number of young people living with HIV has increased nearly 17% between 2006 and 2008. And as we've heard before, sexual contact is the main form of transmission among young adults. And all these statistics are from the CDC. So, given the critical issue that HIV represents among young people, and particularly young people of color, the aims of this project was really to create effective HIV prevention programs in minority-serving institutions. And just to clarify, minority-serving institutions are institutions designated by the Department of Education. They can be either 2 or 4 year colleges or universities, and they are institutions that provide educational services predominantly to minority populations. So the goal of this initiative, as I said, was to increase the capacity of these MSIs to address the sexual health needs of college and university students, to provide support for the creation of innovative and sustainable programs on these campuses, to support the development of differing models of prevention programs, and particularly to characterize and evaluate promising programs so that they might be adapted or adopted more broadly in other schools. And the reason that I think MSIs are uniquely positioned to do this is, First, they obviously have contact with young people, and young college-age students are, they may be experiencing independence for the first time. They are probably experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and so they are certainly at risk for adopting and high-risk behaviors. But MSIs, particularly in addition to having contact with these young students, have a fair amount of credibility in that they are seen as obviously authoritative voices. But minority-serving institutions in particular have a strong link to the communities they serve, and often representing kind of the cultural and important cultural and community relationships within these among these populations. So the particular goals of the initiative were threefold: increase student awareness and knowledge, and positive attitudes and beliefs and behaviors related to HIV prevention and treatment, increase the number of students who have access to the entire range of HIV counseling and testing services, and again, to create a recognizable and sustainable HIV prevention program at these minority-serving institutions. And even though the goals were the same for all the schools, the approaches that the schools took were somewhat different and reflect the context within that school. So just in terms of the process, a program announcement was released in August of 2010, and all MSIs that were designated by the Department of Education were eligible to apply. This included 2- and 4-year colleges. And we also had applications from schools that had never had any HIV prevention programs on their campuses, as well as schools that had had ongoing or prior programs. And for the schools that had prior programs, we of course asked them to describe what new components or new activities they would be doing in this new initiative. We received 24 applications. They were evaluated through 2 review panels, and 7 minority-serving institutions were funded for 3 years. And this included 1 Hispanic-serving institution, 2 tribal colleges and universities, and 4 historically black colleges and universities. And we are currently in the second year, just starting the second year of the project for the schools. So let me review a little bit of the components that the different schools decided to utilize. So Florida International University, which is the Hispanic-serving institution, had a program that was in their nursing school. So all the students that participated in the program are nursing students and, in fact, will be health educators as they complete their nursing education. And they use several of these components. They have campus events. They obviously have National Latino AIDS Awareness Day. They have peer education structured courses. They are revamping a 1-session curriculum, the Senoritas curriculum, to make it more effective and have multiple sessions. They are increasing their HIV testing initiatives, and they have established ongoing collaborations with community-based organizations and the health department. The 2 tribal schools and colleges have also done slightly different approaches. Diné College, which is a college serving the Navajo Nation, is located in 2 states, New Mexico and in Arizona, and that just gives you an idea of some of the complexities of creating programs in areas that have huge geographic areas. But they are developing partnerships, they have increased their education activities and events. They have expanded their HIV testing, and in fact, the 2 project directors became certified to do rapid tests so that they could have rapid testing available on one of the campuses, because again, it's a fairly wide-flung campus with 5 schools participating. So they've gotten CLIA waivers in two states in order to do this and are implementing HIV testing, and they have peer education and, again, some social marketing. Stone Child College, a school in rural Montana, is really working on something more of a community readiness model, where they are bringing the whole issue of HIV prevention and awareness to the campus and creating collaborations with the Indian Health Service that also provides services on their campus in rural Montana. Some of the other activities that are being done, Fort Valley State University's program is centered in the Student Counseling Center, again, just demonstrating that different schools sort of housed their programs or in different places depending on both the interests of the faculty or the needs of the students. And they are working with implementing two Debbies, for SISTA to females, NIA to males, and working with other social marketing ways of getting the word out at the schools. Jackson State, which has had a very long-standing and very committed program to HIV prevention on their campuses, have really extended their program to start, again, including Debbies. They're going to be implementing the popular opinion leader. They're expanding their media campaigns. They have what's called a safe space. They work with peer educators to do talkbacks, so they train peers. The peers, you know, are explain back what the concepts are and are a very key component in class sessions and in educational sessions. And our colleagues at North Carolina and at Southern University are also using awareness, campus awareness, the Red Pump Walk, increased HIV testing, partner involvement, and again, the implementation of Debbies to bring a much more formatted prevention program, which will be implemented by peer educators to students, either in the dorms or through classes. And all the schools are either increasing their HIV testing or partnering with other providers of HIV testing within the community. When the schools were first funded, APT and our partners, NMAC and NAPSE, met with the schools to mutually agree upon what kind of technical assistance they might need in order to really get their programs into their community. And some of the programs or needs that were identified are listed, but included everything from HIV 101 for their peers or for even some of the staff, peer education training, provider training. And let me just say something about the peer education training, because many of the schools had a program that was ongoing. And yet when we went back to the students at the schools and asked to sort of get a sense of what was the curriculum of the peer education and how could we assess what was being given, there really was sort of a course that had been given year after year and maybe didn't have as straightforward a curriculum or one where we could see what all the courses that were covered. So there was a need for sort of additional curriculum-based training for the peers. Some of the other training that was provided, there's a staff development institute in some schools. All the schools have been interested in training on social marketing, training on using social media. My colleague mentioned, Facebook versus, some of the, this is always changing, and students are much more savvy about how to get messages than frequently, the faculty are or we are. So we're always, constantly having to learn how to keep up with the students. And all the schools participate in a monthly learning community in which we have covered such things as homophobia, stigma, methods to recruit peers, retain peers, incentives, things that might help the schools to support the programs that they are involved with. So what are some of the activities to date? Again, as I said, we're starting our second year, but in terms of peer education, 80 peers were completed formal training, 35 received Bacchus certifications, and 8 CTAC were trained. And again, for those of you who have worked with peers, Bacchus is a very well-established peer education training, but it isn't specifically content-oriented for HIV. So it teaches about the role of peers, how to react, how to refer. So that was sort of one of the backgrounds to get the students trained, and then that training was then enhanced by HIV-specific training. 3 of the staff were trained to be HIV testers, including implementing HIV rapid tests. We have done provider training for clinicians, particularly among the tribal schools. 573 students were tested either within these projects themselves or through partnerships with either the health department or community-based organizations, either on campus or in association with the school. And several schools have really established more formalized relationships with other organizations, whether it be the LGBT organizations or the campus health center or health departments. So for instance, one of our schools, the director of the program became a member of the community planning board. So he's a voice now at the state planning board and can bring back the issues that are important to his college and have them understand what the issues are in a fairly rural college setting. In terms of campus events, 6 of the 7 schools have already held campus events, and they run the gamut from drag shows to paella parties. But again, whatever works within that campus in order to attract students, bring the issue of HIV awareness, offer HIV testing, and to provide additional education. So what have been some of the challenges? Well, first, obviously, approvals are necessary, both in terms of the schools. All the schools need to get IRB approval, and we as a funder need to also get OMB approval. And none of this can happen until all the schools have formalized what instruments they're using, what interventions they're using. So it's a slow process, and it has been a challenging one. And just to give you one example, for IRB, one of the schools had to go through all the tribal councils in order to first bring an IRB resolution before the formal Navajo Nation Tribal Council. So it was a fairly involved process. They were successful, but again, all these things require time and patience. Testing. In order to get testing in non-clinical settings, as I'm sure many of you know, you need to get a CLIA waiver. For every school we worked with, they're in a different state. Every state has their own requirements. Again, one of our schools that was located in 2 states had to get CLIA waivers in 2 states in order to be able to do HIV testing. Again, they were successful, but all of these processes require patience and time. Competing needs. You know, we talked about, we always expected that the students would have competing needs because, in fact, they are students. They have many other obligations to do. And we needed to be able to deal with the fact that students' class schedule changes from quarter to quarter or semester to semester. How do you keep them engaged? So that's been an ongoing challenge. But we also were surprised that we had competing needs of the staff or faculty. When we envisioned this program, we thought it was very important to have faculty that were part of the academic life of the school, but they also have competing needs and are responsible for teaching and many other responsibilities for the schools, where staff who may not have the clout, let's say, to get a class on the academic calendar, may have more enthusiasm at times, but may not have the entree into the academic life of the school. So it's been evaluating the competing needs of staff versus faculty as managers of the program. Training needs, I think we were surprised that the training needs are ongoing, both in terms of staff and for students, so we needed to build in strong support, and as I said, we have two great partners with NAPC and NMAC to be able to customize the training needs that the school requires. And I think the last thing that we have all been somewhat surprised about is the challenge of adapting Debbie's to a school environment. As many of you know, Debbie's were not necessarily created with a college-age population in mind. Some of them are really not as relevant to young, educated students. And certainly the requirements for six sessions of, you know, 1 hour is very, very difficult to implement on a college campus. Our future plans, as we move into the second year, we're going to continue the peer education activities. We will be working with the schools to adapt their Debbies to make them more relevant to a school, to a college-age population. Many of the schools are really working on their social marketing campaigns as a part of the sustainability project. And we will be working with them on development of new curriculum. The tribal schools are hoping to develop a curriculum that's specifically relevant to other tribal schools. HIV testing will be expanded. The partnerships will be expanded also. And we will be conducting the cross-site evaluation, which will be very important in terms of developing sort of next sets of lessons. And this is just some pictures from some of the schools. They represent, you know, on the bottom is one of the drag shows, an athletic team that does HIV testing, a little scooter that brought students to their testing initiatives, and just some of the activities that the students have done. So thank you.